Hey, this is Diane Gibbs with Creatives Ignite, and this is workshop one of a three-part series. And this part is about telling compelling stories that bridge gaps and make connections. I am using information that I've gotten from life, my experience, plus StoryBrand, a whole bunch of StoryBrand books I've read, plus Kendra Hall, which is Donald Miller, J.J. Peterson, and then Stories That Stick and Choose Your Story, Change Your Life with Kendra Hall as well. So we're going to jump right in, and here it is. If you're like me, you have a ton of interest. Oh my gosh, my business does all these things. How am I ever going to tell one story? Well, I don't think you tell one story to every single person that you meet. This is a really important thing. I think people call it code switching a lot of time, but I am not going to, if I know that you're interested in something, I'm going to hone in on what that thing is, and I'm going to make a connection. Me and you are going to make a connection. If I'm talking to a potential client, I'm going to ask them some questions about their business and see how I could maybe help them solve a problem, or somebody else I know could help them. So I may not have something for everybody, but if they're a business owner and I'm meeting them, I'm going to ask them about maybe their marketing or their branding or how their advertising is, or maybe it's like Paul is a book designer and he's making that, he's trying to help people make their books. So he might talk to him about having a story. So there's lots of things, but today we're going to focus on one thing because I want you to have a story for all these, just like I want you to have a landing page and a lead magnet for all these things. But you can't tell everything that you do, and I can't, and so I have to pick. It's very difficult. But let's just pick one and work through it. So because it is overwhelming, that's why we're going to pick one. It's too much to think about. So we're going to tackle one story at a time, and we're going to start it right now. So I want you to think about one area of your business. If I was thinking about all the things that I want to do, Imagine Ember is something that I could do this for. This is just one part of my business. I could do it for the podcast. I could do it for web design, my web design clients. I could do it for Power Station, but that reaches different audiences. And so sometimes there's crossover and sometimes they're not. But here's the thing. I think about these like entities on their own. So if Paul is working with a nonfiction author, that might be one area of his business. Again, he can say in general book design, but I think he could have some better stories if they weren't so generalized. Amy, same thing with wine. Okay, so one area of your business, because we're thinking about all the things that we're going to make after, and these stories are going to help us to tell the lead, use the what we're going to do for the lead magnet. We're going to have one landing page, one presentation maybe about that thing, one type of customer at a time. So again, let's pick one thing that you're going to do today. Paul doesn't have to do what I said. Amy doesn't have to do what I said. This will make sense if you're watching this later or you're coming live, because Amy and Paul will be there. So why should we tell stories instead of listing benefits? So oftentimes it'll be like, here's the benefits. Compare these three things, right? We do this. We do this when we give a bid. It is not that it's bad, but it doesn't create something that is memorable and shareable. So features and benefits are important. But that's not the thing that we're going to remember and then share about. We're going to remember a story, and we're going to share that story. If I'm in line and I'm possibly somebody's customer and they tell me something and then I remember that, now I'm going to be like, oh my goodness, you have got to work with Carrie because Carrie told me this story, and this is totally a Carrie story, right? Like, you need to talk to Carrie about this. Memorable and shareable. That's why we need stories. So the components of a good story, according to StoryBrand, Donald Miller, or Kendra Hall, is a transformational character. A character goes through a transformation. So we're going to practice this today. We're going to In the workshop, we're going to do some exercises where we're going to have some personal stories, some customer stories, some service stories, product stories, so that you get an idea of how to do this. And then we're going to be able to do it for ourselves. So we're going to do it for things that are easier, and then we're going to do the thing for ourselves at the end. Or you may have to do that because you may need a little bit more thinking. But sometimes when we are doing it together, it can bubble some more ideas. So to connect, you need to paint the picture of what life was like before. If you don't know who this is Amy Cuddy. She has a book that I love, and I can't remember what it is. I'll remember it before I come to the workshop. But she also has a TED Talk, and it's about power posing, and it is amazing. And she paints a picture of what she was like before an event that was transformational for her, and what was life was like after. And this is a very powerful TED Talk. She cries. She gets a little choked up. I cry when I watch it. So she is connecting me. Why do I have a picture of Amy Cuddy in this presentation? Is because this story she told was so transformational. But here's another thing that neither Donald Miller or Kendra Hall have talked about, but it's maybe self-evident, is that there is sometimes a second part to the story. Kendra Hall actually does mention it in either this book or the other book. I can't remember. I think it's the other one. I've read both of them so many times this semester. It's a little squirrely in my head. But she talks about Taylor Swift. And when Taylor Swift in 2017 or 2018, she didn't get any Grammys. And this could have been the end, the last part of her story. But Taylor was like, no, this isn't the end. But a lot of people, she's had Grammys, had tons of Grammys, many years. She could have said, you know what? I'm not resonating anymore. This must be the end of my story. This is the end of my career doing this. But she said, no, I'm going to make better stories. And whether you like Taylor Swift or not, she continues to win Grammys. She had one bad year, but this was just the middle of her story. Is this the middle of your story? Is this a pivot point? Is this the end of a story? So first we have to paint the normal. If you know Amy Cuddy's story, she was in a car accident. So much so that she really identified as an intellectual. And it took her down many different degrees in her IQ level. And it was so much so that she never thought she would even finish undergrad. And I think it took her 7 years to finish. That was the, what they call, Donald Miller would call the transformation event, or it could be a process, a transformational process, it could be a service, a product, whatever, right? So there's the normal. This is how Donald Miller calls it, a transformational character. And then Kendra Hall in Stories That Stick calls it normal, explosion, new normal. I can't remember what my slide is. Okay, so here's a personal story. That's me. I know. Chunky little arms. That's my cousin Kathy and her dog. Early on, I was introduced to dogs. Okay, I wasn't afraid of this dog. There was this dog. I don't think this isn't Rex, but this was kind of like, I think this was dog's name was Snoopy. He had a little bit of energy, but I was okay with him. I wasn't deathly afraid. Again, I am small, right? At about this age, again, that's me with the arrow over me. An event happened that changed my life. But it was about this time. I might have been 3 or 4. I don't think I was 5. I was 3 or 4. I might be 5 in this picture, but I was always short, so you really can't tell. This is what my dad and my sister look like. The explosion happened when we went over to my neighbor's house to feed their dog. They were out of town. We were going to feed their dog. And I had only petted the dog through the chain link fence. And this dog was a Boston Terrier. If you know these are small little dogs, but they have a lot of energy. Well, I did not know. The only experience I had was maybe with my cousin Kathy's dogs, who Rex was a lot bigger, and that dog, Snoopy, was a little bit hyper, but nothing like this dog next door. And the dog next door had never done anything, never tried to bite me, only licked my hands. But we walked into the gate, my dad, my sister, and I obviously am the shorter one. He jumped on my shoulders, pushed me over, and began to eat my face. Or at least that's what I thought. I was screaming. My dad and my sister were laughing. I thought they were happy to see me die. Literally, this is what I thought as a little kid. They are laughing at me, dying. And I am dying. From then on, I was deathly afraid of dogs. It didn't matter if it was little or big. It was until the fifth grade, I went to my cousin Scott, my Aunt Jo's house, and they had a Chihuahua and a St. Bernard. Quite a difference in size there. And I said to my dad, I said, I'm going to stay in the car the whole weekend. And I was not getting out of the car. I said, I can't do it. I mean, I was that afraid. My dad did not know I was that afraid. But for years, I'd been shimmying up mailboxes to get away from dogs. I was that afraid of dogs. I did end up going inside. I was standing on my dad's shoulders. My dad's like 6'1". I was standing on his shoulders because I was okay with the little dog. And I did get okay with Barnaby, the St. Bernard, later. But it took a lot. The fear was really, really big. This could have been the end of my story. The new normal was that I was now, after that dog pushed me over, changed my life, that I never looked at dogs. I was always afraid. I thought they were death traps. But that wasn't the end of my story. My dad was actually super embarrassed, I think, because I was so adamant about being so scared that he said, we're getting a dog. We have to get a dog because it's too much. And obviously you couldn't go to the shelter and get a dog that was big because I was already afraid of it, you know, but a puppy. So we got a puppy. And this is where, if something isn't serving you, obviously the dog wasn't eating my face, but that is really, you know, nobody talked me through it. So that's really what I thought. I thought he was killing me. And I didn't know because I hadn't had any experience. But it was so shaking to me that it changed the way of my life for 10 years. And you think, 10 years. But it was 10 years of my life. But that was not a true story. And it wasn't it was true to me. But it wasn't really what happened. You have to rewrite that story. So that's why I tell you the Taylor Swift story. It wasn't going to be the end of her story. So the ones that aren't serving you, you have to ask, am I really a terrible illustrator? Nope. I need to stop saying that. Can I learn to draw? Yes. Could I learn to write? Yes. Then I can learn to draw. I just have to keep at it. So the explosion was when we got my dog in fifth grade, and I think it was the spring semester of fifth grade. And this is my dog that changed my life. Her name is Sugar. Obviously, she's not with us anymore. She only lived to age 8. And the one on the left is her at age 7. She died right before I went to Auburn for freshman year. So, love that dog. Changed my life. Not a small dog. About 50, 60 pound English Bulldog mix. So, but a lot of English Bulldog. So the new normal is now that I love dogs. I've had 3 dogs since. They're not all little. So Jackson's the one right here on the left. Buddy was in our wedding. It does look like I married my dog. I did not. But that's how important dogs became. Jerry was a 120-pound dog, like a Rottweiler something mix. Dogs have been such a part of my life that that's how important that I had it on my wedding day. So what I want you to do is get ready for a personal story. You're going to tell a personal story. That's exercise 1. I want you to think about a personal story that you could do normal, explosion, so an event or something that happened, and then new normal. Maybe you don't need a rewrite explosion and then new normal again. But let's work with this. At least a normal explosion, new normal for personal story. This is transformation. The next thing we're going to do, just so you are prepped, is a product story. I love this lamp. I also, probably $60 lamp. I love it. I have two of them. John has one. I have one. The other is this. I did tell you how much that one cost. This, and I'll tell you why. I love that lamp for other reasons. But this Wacom tablet is the second one I've had. I've had it for 10 years now. And it helps me not have carpal tunnel, so it helps my health. It also helps me to draw better. I can draw while it's just a more natural for me. I definitely have suffered from carpal tunnel. But here, the other thing is, we're going to be talking about a value story, and a value story is not just money. So yes, this was under $60, but I have never had to buy another lamp, and it is super flexible. I love that it can come. I love that it's dimmable. Can you see it dimming? And then you can put it, but it's a quick on off, and then I can keep making it. But it also has more of a daylight look. So when I'm on camera, it helps it to look better. This Wacom tablet was $125. The last one lasted me 22 years. I don't know how much better. Like, it continues to get updated, and they make a really good product. That's a product story. Normal, new normal. I was having carpal tunnel before, right? We can do this. I'll go into a little bit more when we're together. A service story, and you're going to talk about maybe a service that you purchased. Again, this is you being the customer, because we're going to be talking to customers, so we need to have some customer stories. Service story, and I'm going to show you one of my customer stories. Again, because I was also a customer, but she is my customer, but she also has a service-based business. So this was a very fast one that I did for her for social media. This is an animated GIF that there is another screen that has her information, but there was a before. Your dog is tearing up everything. During, your dog is during play care. This is how awesome your dog is playing with other, they're getting all their energy out. And at the end of the day, this is her customer's real photo of their dog just sacked out. Now, that isn't necessarily all about the customer. So this is, the customer is having trouble with their dog. They have a dog that has a lot of energy. They want to keep their dog. They want to have a relationship with their dog, but they don't have time. I'm busy. I'm a busy doctor, maybe. I mean, I'm not a doctor, but whatever. They're busy. They're a mom, or they're working, or whatever they are, a dad, and they don't have time to run the dog. They don't have time to do this. So they use Walks and Wags to have their dog be healthy. They're cleaned when they get home, and they are tired. They are ready to be loved on. They don't want to tear up everything. They're getting socialized. They're getting trained. It is a win-win. Win for the dog, and win for you, and win for your family. This is a customer story. So this is an example of a customer story. In Stories That Stick, Kendra and her team came up with four things that need to be part of a story. An identifiable character, a specific detail, authentic emotion, and a significant moment. I've gone pretty quickly through these. We can break these down. If you think about the story I told you with the dog, there was definitely authentic emotion. There were specific details, putting my hand through the fence, the dog coming, eating my face, my other, you know, cousin's dog. And then a significant moment in time when that happened and both explosions happened. I want you, no matter what story you're telling, you're going to be thinking about normal, explosion, new normal. But you're also going to be thinking, have I painted a picture of an identifiable character? Is it you? Is it someone else? Again, me as somebody who needs a good light, that's me. I am the identifiable character. But in the story of my customer, I was talking about one of her customers. One of her customers is a busy working mom, and she doesn't have time to, they have this family dog. They love this family dog. They have to have some sort of exercise for the dog and engagement. So now it relieves the mom. The mom is now relieved. Did I tell you at all what that costs? It doesn't matter, because now the mom doesn't have to clean up shredded pillows and stuff like that, right? And I showed you some pictures. So we're going to have an example. We're going to talk about an example of a customer that you know when kind of thing. And then we're also going to have analogies. These are not two things that they've talked about in either in any of these books, but I use analogy a lot in class, as Carrie will know. And you'll, maybe if you've watched more of episodes in the past, you know I have a lot of analogies. But I think analogies are sometimes good. So I want your stories for each part of your business to have these. You have a story, you also have an example story, and then you have an analogy so that it helps everybody. And that's it. That's what our first lesson is going to be about. And I'll see you in a little bit.